United Nations Radio presents the UN Story. In this series of programs, United Nations Radio brings you the authentic transcribed account of the work of the UN, a report of achievement in many fields, the UN Story. Today you will hear a special tribute to Albert Schweitzer.
Deep in the primeval forest of French Equatorial Africa, there's a place called Lambaréné. At Lambaréné there lives and works a doctor, 80 years old, who has given 40 of his years to the care of the local people. In 1945, when news reached Lambaréné that the war in Europe had ended, the doctor took a book down from the shelf, and he read to his wife.
At the celebration of any victory, the general should act as he would at a funeral. The slaughter of human beings in great numbers should be lamented with tears of compassion. Therefore should he who has conquered in battle bear himself as though he were at a ceremonial of mourning.
The book was The Sayings of Lao Tzu, written 26 centuries ago. The doctor who was reading those words at Lambaréné was Albert Schweitzer. Recently, UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, made a distribution of powdered milk in that area of French Equatorial Africa where Lambaréné lies. And it happened that a United Nations reporter, Stephanie Dinkins, visited Lambaréné to see the work of the hospital and to meet the great doctor who runs it. The report she recorded during her visit forms the basis of this program. Now, the principles for which the United Nations stands are basic and universal. At its broadest, the ideal of a peaceful world embraces a reverence for life and a motive of service to mankind. Now, there are many other organizations who have similar aims, and there are also individuals who are able to give expression to them. Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who celebrates his 80th birthday this year, is one of these individuals. Albert Schweitzer's extraordinary life embodies this attitude of selfless service. Because his single-handed achievement is so outstanding, we wish to pay a tribute to this man, whose life has been inspired by ideals similar to those upon which the United Nations rests. So, out to Lambaréné, where there are many clinical thermometers, but not one to tell the day's temperature. Dr. Schweitzer won't have a thermometer there, because he says, if you knew how hot it was, you couldn't stand it. In the dispatch by Stephanie Dinkins, which follows, you'll hear music of the Ogowe tribesmen who live near Lambaréné.
I have just returned from a week's visit to Dr. Albert Schweitzer's jungle hospital in the Gaboon district of French Equatorial Africa, about 500 miles from Brazzaville. The trip is made by plane and truck as far as the village of Lambaréné. There, one steps into a hollowed-out log called a pirogue and is paddled up the Ogowe River. The men who paddle these craft have a sort of chant which marks the rhythm of the stroke and keeps them working in unison. This is the chant of the paddlers. After a ride of almost an hour, the traveler is deposited on a point of land where a path leads through the dense tangle of giant palms, ferns, vines, and exotic trees. This is the introduction to one of the most famous and most isolated hospitals in the world. Just a few days before I arrived, Dr. Schweitzer had received his first shipment of powdered milk from UNICEF. It is being given to sick children and pregnant women in both the regular hospital and in the leper villages which have sprung up around it. Many of the patients have traveled long distances through the jungle or along the river in pirogues because the work of the Schweitzer Hospital is widely known in this region. His staff consists of 4 doctors, 10 nurses, and 2 or 3 administrative helpers. I asked some of the staff why they had come. the answers were pretty much the same. For example, there was the French editor who was working with a group of local laborers in preparing the foundation for a new building. Why did I come? He shrugged his shoulders. To be useful. The Swiss nurse said, I read his books. I just wanted to lend a hand to Le Grand Docteur. Dr. Schweitzer's main project now is the building of a village to house the patients suffering from leprosy, who are in temporary shelters made of palm and thatch. He is using his $25,000 Nobel Prize money exclusively for this purpose. It was outside one of these buildings that I watched the distribution of UNICEF milk at 6:30 in the morning. The nurse in charge of these 220 patients is a pretty blonde Danish girl named Erna Hansen. She sat at a table with a ledger open before her, in which were listed the patients and what medicines they should receive. Four of the lepers who were practically cured served as her assistants. The patients began to gather, a line of hobbling, bandaged, ragged waifs, many leaning on sticks. Each one got his handful of pills and then went on to take a cup of water or a half cup of milk with which to swallow them. Last week, when Erna distributed UNICEF milk for the first time, she ran into a problem. The people had never drunk milk before, and they didn't like it. Oddly enough, an insect is responsible for this. The tsetse fly, which causes sleeping sickness in cattle and in humans, flourishes in this region, so there are no cattle, and powdered milk is a strange drink that doesn't taste very good. But Erna had a solution for the problem. She mixed the milk with sugar and cocoa and served it warm. This way it went down more easily. All the same, I must say there were a lot of glum faces looking down into that bucket of chocolate milk. No doubt when the patients begin to see results, a little flesh on those broomstick legs, they will like milk better. When all the pills had been given out, Erna moved quickly over to a group of benches under a palm tree, where some of the patients were waiting to have their bandages changed. A Japanese doctor was already at work, and Erna took her place beside him. He is a newcomer to the staff. Until recently, Erna had done all this part of the job alone. The doctor said nothing as he worked, for he speaks only Japanese and German, while they speak only their own languages and a little French. I walked over to watch Erna. She was taking the bandages off the foot of a young boy, and suddenly her face brightened. Oh, how much better you are, she said. See what God has done for you. The boy looked at her. God and Mademoiselle, he said. The patients at Dr. Schweitzer's hospital come from a number of different tribes. As a rule, each patient brings with him one or more members of his family who take care of him during his stay. This means that there are always several hundred quite well people living around the hospital. Sometimes, on moonlight nights, they make music. Here is one of their songs, this one from the Baduma tribe.
The remarkable human being who guides Lamborghini, Albert Schweitzer, is musician, philosopher, doctor, and missionary. Let us listen for a moment to his playing of a Bach organ prelude, and then hear his story as told by a compatriot.
The music of John Sebastian Bach inspired the childhood of Dr. Schweitzer in Elsass, where he was born. And because his father was a pastor, music has always been closely associated in his mind with religion. Theology, philosophy, and music filled his youth. And because he had an inquiring mind and immense capacity for work, He soon carried all these three subjects to such a point that he might have made a brilliant career in any one of them. But it did not seem to him to be enough. A desire to dedicate himself to something bigger than a personal career crystallized in him, and at the age of 21, he decided to study medicine, to become a missionary doctor, and devote his life to the care of primitive tribes in French Equatorial Africa. This decision, at such an age, was remarkable enough, but in addition, he gave himself a time limit, 9 years. By the age of 30, he would learn all he could about theology, philosophy, and music. And then he would take his medical degree and, as it were, leave the Western world behind him. Such was his prodigious capacity that he carried out this program exactly. The 9 years sufficed for him to become an exponent of new principles in theology, a well-known preacher, an authority on Bach, and in addition, a practical expert in organs and organ building. Then, after 6 years devoted to medicine, he left and opened an hospital at Lambaren. His friends could not understand him. It was, said one, like a general going into action with a rifle. He left on Easter Sunday, 1913, 42 years ago, with his wife and 70 cases of medical supplies. Now, Albert Schweitzer is 80 years old, and his hospital at Lambaren takes care of thousands of patients yearly. So putting aside his own life and all personal ambition, he has been acclaimed and honored by the world he left behind, and by unflagging devotion and service to the lives of others, his own life has become as rich and noble as the music of his beloved Bach. But of course, it is much more than this. Albert Schweitzer's life has been one of suffering hardship and self-denial, the classical path of the mystics and saints. It seems strange that this should be the way, perhaps the only way, to liberation and peace. But if you were to meet him, you would know that it is true.
We cannot do better than to close this program with a quotation.
Only inasmuch as it shall have a new spirit and temper ruling within it, can the state achieve peace within its borders. Only inasmuch as a new spirit and temper shall arise between states, can they come to understand one another and cease to bring destruction upon one another.
That quotation is from the writings of Albert Schweitzer, Doctor of Medicine, Doctor of Theology, Doctor of Philosophy, Doctor of Music. The entire world lay before him. He chose to give his life to the service of simple people in the deep tropical forest of Africa. Albert Schweitzer is 80 years old this year.
You have just heard a special tribute to Albert Schweitzer. The UN story is produced and transcribed by the international staff of United Nations Radio.